Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right. Good morning, Awake Church. How's everybody doing? Good to see you. And as my dad would say, good to be seen. So when Matt asked and invited me to speak this morning, I thought, uh-oh. I looked at the date, nothing like a Sunday after an election. I thought, wow, where is this going to go and what do I need to be ready for? Hopefully my encouragement today would encourage regardless of what happened this week. I will take a few moments to address the elephant in the room, pun intended. We did have an election this week. And I'll tell you what, Proverbs 29:2 says, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. Amen. But when the wicked are in power, they groan. The fact, though, is almost 70 million people are not as hopeful as some people. This is still a nation divided. I think all of us have friends on social media and people that profess Christ that are not hopeful in the future. And my opinion is this, if we want real and lasting change, it's got to be through us. It's us. We've got to be it. The body of Christ has to rise up in this hour. I feel we have a moment in time here, really important moment in time, to be the light and the salt, to be like Jesus, to love like Jesus. And so regardless of this election, future elections, our hope is sure. The Lord's promises are sure, right? His faithfulness is without doubt. He is faithful. He is good. And he's got an amazing plan for those that love him. He has an amazing plan for those that love him. That's you and I. You and I were born for such a time as this. It's no mistake that you're here right now. You were born for such a time as this. And if we are going to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's going to take more than a government. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to take more than a government. If you're not identifying yourself first and foremost as a citizen of heaven, I'm questioning your identity. Being proud of the nation you're from, I think, is okay, is good. But it can go off the rails if you are not identifying first and foremost as a citizen of heaven. Bought with a price, set apart, sons and daughters of the King of Kings. That is your starting place and your citizenship. So here's some good news to remember, and I don't want to spend a long time on this. But regardless of how you're feeling about what went down this last week, these are truths. One, God rules the kings and governors of the earth. Amen. Says so in Revelation, says so in Daniel. Two, every government is established and exists by God. Says so in John 19, Romans 13, Job 12. Number three, God even uses wicked governments to accomplish his divine purpose. It says so in Jeremiah 25 and Acts, and we see it all through Scripture, the Lord using wicked kings. I don't know about you, but I would prefer not to go that route. It's painful, but the Lord's able to use it, and he did with his people Israel. I would prefer to cry out for mercy and repent before we are subjected to evilness and unrighteousness. Number four, Christians should pray for those in authority. In just a minute, I would like us to take a couple minutes and stand together. I want to read a couple scriptures first and pray for our nation and this transition and the leadership. Not because of who got elected, but because it's a mandate for us. 1 Timothy 2 says this, "First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." That's pretty clear. All people in all positions of authority. We're supposed to be making intercessions, praying for those in authority. Colossians 1:16 says this, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Amazing. Last scripture, I love this one. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." Could you stand with me for a moment? Lord Jesus, here we are, the body of Christ gathered in your name. That is powerful. Lord, we're praying for the president-elect this morning and all those in authority. Lord, we're lifting up this transition of power. Lord, we're asking that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we're asking for godly counsel and wisdom as he puts together a cabinet of leaders. Lord, we're crying out for righteousness, mercy. Lord, we're asking that you would show up in the dreams of those that are stepping into authority, that you would guide the leader's hands like a stream, leading it where you will. Lord, we're asking for protection. Lord, protect those in authority. Lord, even local leaders here in the state of North Carolina. Lord, we're asking and praying for them that if they don't know you, that they would come to know you in a powerful way. Lord, lead them, guide them. Lord, we love you. Lord, you say to ask for the nations as our inheritance. It's not U.S., Lord. You're doing something in the earth. God, move powerfully on the leaders around the world for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Amen. All right. Well, today I want to talk about hope. We sang about it. Real hope. Enduring hope. And this would be the same message regardless of what happened this week. Because hope is a person, the person of Jesus. It's not an outcome. He's the anchor of hope in all things, in all seasons, in all situations. He is hope. I also want to tie in how walking in our purpose really does fuel hope. We need to be, all of us, walking in our purpose as believers. Hebrews 6:17 through 20 says this, "In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Our salvation through Jesus is an anchor of hope. It really is. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." It's alive. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." That's amazing. Where we stand right now and into the future is from a place of victory. That's our starting point. That's our starting place. From victory, not working towards victory, because of what Jesus did. Jesus conquered death, and we have been resurrected with him in life. You are victorious. We won because he won. I don't know how many of you were able to be here last week. Chris Gore, our guest speaker, really good. Suggest you go back and watch that if you weren't here. But I love how Chris was saying, we are the righteousness of Christ. It's the being before the doing. Not that we are becoming righteous, but we are. That's our standing place, our starting place. It's the same with victory. We're starting from a place of victory. Church, we got to walk confidently in that in every situation we find ourselves in. That in itself should make us really hopeful. Really hopeful. Unfortunately, there is an epidemic of hopelessness. Not just in the church and those around us, everywhere. Dave spoke about this a little bit, but do you know that over 700,000 people commit suicide every year? That's crazy. That is awful. Let me read you the definition of hopelessness. I think it paints a pretty clear picture of what a lot of people are dealing with. Hopelessness is a state of mind or feeling characterized by the absence of hope, where a person believes that their situation is impossible to change or improve. There's a belief system with hopelessness. It is a profound sense of despair and pessimism about the future, often accompanied by feelings of powerlessness, helplessness, and a lack of purpose or direction. I want to come back to lack of purpose a little bit later. People experiencing hopelessness may feel trapped, overwhelmed, or resigned to negative outcomes, perceiving that there are no viable solutions to their problems or that positive change is unattainable. In psychological terms, hopelessness is often associated with conditions like depression, anxiety, and many other emotional or mental health challenges. It can affect a person's motivation, outlook on life, and willingness to take action towards positive change. That seems to be a huge part of the world right now. Articles I've read, and even some people that I know that are in this profession of helping people with mental health challenges, you can barely get an appointment. You can barely get the help that you need because they're so backed up. Just over the last couple weeks, two people, two situations, two more stories of people so hopeless that they decided the best thing was to do was to commit suicide. One was my cousin. Still getting the details on that. It's awful. At one point in his life, he did profess Christ. We're thankful for that. He was baptized. But somewhere along the way, he stopped connecting with the person of hope and believing that change, real change, could happen. The other thing, my 17-year-old was at work, and some older gentleman came up to him out of the blue, hadn't had much interaction with him in the past. And he just, I guess out of hurt or wanting to talk to a younger person, told a story of how his 23-year-old stepson, married, two kids, Marine vet, decided to commit suicide. And his message to my son was, hey, if you ever need to talk to somebody, I'm here. I don't think that guy was a believer at all. you and I can really make an impact in this world because of the hope that's inside of us. We have the antidote of hopelessness. We really do. Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is not just something that God gives, but it's his nature. Hope is a person. And as you are filled with it, our part in this is trusting in him, but you are filled with peace. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to overflow with hope. I think of overflow as more than enough so that people around you are impacted by that as well. It doesn't say so that you can have enough hope for yourself. It's an overflow of hope. We're supposed to be the most hopeful people on the planet. We are. If I was to invite any one person in here on stage and we could gather all their friends and family, all their coworkers, all their friends and acquaintances, and we started to list some of your positive attributes, I would hope, there's hope again, I would hope that they would say about you that John or Mary or Steve, they're the most hopeful people I know. They're just so positive, so optimistic. At work, we could be facing a terrible problem. Things are falling apart. But John, he's so hopeful. I hope that we can be that light and that hope for those around us. So there's a lot more scriptures, depending on your Bible translation. I think some have over 100, maybe close to 150 scriptures on hope. But I want to kind of move back and take a slightly different angle on walking in your purpose and how essential that is to living a hope-filled life. Fundamentally, if we are not walking in our purpose, we're always going to be feeling dissatisfied, disjointed. You know, the hope that you may have for our future based off even what happened this week, if that's where you are, that is going to fade when you're back into kind of the trenches of your life. It's imperative that you're walking in purpose, the purpose that God has for you. Purpose and hope are interwoven. And walking in purpose fuels your hope because it gives eternal meaning to why you're here. I'm not talking about vocation. I hope I can make that clear. I'm not talking about vocation, what you do for a living. You know, I do feel that's important for the Lord. There's some practical aspects of what you spend a lot of time week in and week out doing. How you provide for your family, that's important to the Lord. Even the spheres of influence that you find yourselves in is important to the Lord. We need strong believers full of hope in Jesus in every sphere, government, arts, education. So it is important to the Lord. But I'm talking about something else in terms of your purpose. If we start attaching our vocation or are we living up to our potential with what we're doing for work, we're missing it. Because what if the purposes of God was not to remove you from a situation, but use you to transform it? That can be anywhere, anytime, in the grocery store, at work. If you were to go into your place of employment Monday and you saw needs there, you were seeing people through the lens of Jesus, you prayed for someone with cancer, they were healed. You were ministering to someone that just lost a loved one and they wanted to know Christ and you led them to the Lord. If we're walking in our purpose, it's going to be dynamic. It's going to be an amazing life. And there's certain things that we're all called to do. And that is the purpose I'm talking about. Healing the sick, ministering to the lost, shifting culture right where you are. I do think that that is why the Apostle Paul and many others before us were able to live such hope-infused life, whether shipwrecked, in prison, out of prison, with a lot, with a little. They were walking in their purpose. We're supposed to be a light in dark places. And I look around and it's bright in here. I'm talking about you. It is bright as well. But I'm talking about you, and I think it's wonderful that we gather together and shine. We're supposed to spend time ministering to one another. But your light is meant to be out there in dark places. That's where it's needed most. Matthew 5 says this: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." There's always going to be a deep groan in the heart of man to know their purpose and why they were created. You guys familiar with Miles Monroe? Incredible guy. He passed, I think, around 2014. He's from the Bahamas. Evangelist, leadership development, inspirational. There's a lot of videos out there. Helped a lot of people be successful. He was really successful. And he would bring in principles, godly principles, into all of his messaging. But he basically built 5 questions to determine if you could answer these 5 questions, then you were guaranteed to be successful in his experience. You want to know what those questions are? Who am I? Where am I from? Why am I here? What am I really capable of? And where am I going? Those are deep questions. So what is our purpose? I think a better question would be, is what are God's purposes for us? Ephesians 1:11 says this, and I love the MSG translation in this scenario. It's a little more poetic. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs for us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. Isn't that amazing? First and foremost, God created us for relationship, for his pleasure, for his good pleasure. You were made by God for God. You are a temple of the living God. That's amazing to think about. It says in Colossians 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So are we to glorify God? Absolutely. And God's going to put you in situations to bring him glory. And sometimes the tougher those are, the more glory he gets. What else were we created for? What is our purpose? Well, we know it's to love. Love God, love others. One of the most important things in terms of our purpose. What about telling others about Jesus? About the hope that you have? You know, evangelism, I would rather kind of use the description of telling others about the hope inside of you, what Jesus has done for you, the saving grace of him dying on the cross on your behalf. Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection and said in John 20:21, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. You are all sent. The Lord has sent you into every place, everywhere your foot steps, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 10:14 says this: how then can they, unbelievers, call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That is you and I, part of every believer's purpose. What else? Calls us to make disciples of all nations. Part of our purpose. Matthew 28:18 says this: then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What else? We're supposed to walk in power. There has been, power has been made available to us. Luke 9 says, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. It's part of every believer's purpose. It's part of our purpose. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We've been filled with the Spirit, empowered, ambassadors. You want to have hope for the future? Walk in your purpose. I want to be a people walking out John 14:12. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. I'm excited for us as a church to walk in that power. We need it. It's not just words. It's demonstrations of power. You want to see Winston-Salem transformed? Our nation? Lord said to ask for the nations as an inheritance. I have a son in Paris. It's bigger than us. In our country, it's the kingdom. We need to be filled with his power. We need to be walking in purpose. We're called to love others, make disciples, walk in power, share the good news of the kingdom. I would guess that 99 point something of us work a secular job or in the marketplace. I feel like it holds the greatest potential. It's where the people are. It's where the hurting are. God's got you right where you're at for a purpose and a plan. And as you're faithful in that situation, we've got to trust him for the right doors. But it's first being rooted in the anchor of hope, the person of Jesus. Walking in your purpose. Sharing his light, his love. And you're going to see amazing things happen. You're going to feel used by God in such a great way. Fully alive, excited, hopeful for the future. Because you're a part of it. You're partnering with the Lord for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. If we want real and lasting change in our nation, it's going to be through us. It's going to be through the body of Christ. It really is. I want to encourage us this morning to collectively let our light shine. Will you guys make that commitment? I want to pray for us here at the end, but I want us to be aware of opportunities. If we can get our eyes off ourselves and our own struggle and on him and on others, we're going to be excited. We're going to show up to work excited. It's not going to feel as mundane. We're not going to be so concerned, am I living up to my potential? You're going to be transforming the atmosphere, shifting culture. It's one of the invitations to live the most exciting, adventurous life is with Jesus. Are you feeling encouraged this morning? Are we hopeful? I'd like us to stand here, and I want to pray together. Have you told the Lord, send me? Is that it? Raise your hand if you've said that to the Lord. Hopefully it's all of us. Send me, God. And send me doesn't mean another nation. It doesn't mean a new job. Send me where you want me to be, Jesus. You are sent right now wherever you're at. Lord, we just give you thanks. We bless your name. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the person of hope, the anchor of hope in all things, in all situations, in all time. Lord, we pray this morning that you would fill us with all joy and peace so that we may overflow with your hope. As we step into this week, as we step back into the trenches and maybe some valleys that some people find themselves in, as we step back into those situations that we can walk fully alive in your purpose. Lord, set this body of believers on fire for your name's sake, for your glory. I'm asking that you pour out, Lord, new and fresh boldness to declare your truth in a hurting world, to love others really well, to see others as Jesus would see them. Lord, to impact, shift culture, be the light and salt that we were called to be. Lord, pour it out on this body. Lord, we lift up Winston-Salem. Lord, I pray that that we would begin to see people that don't know you come to know you in record numbers. That even this church, that we would begin to invite those that don't know you yet to come to church with us, that we would make impact. Lord, we love you. We just thank you for the fresh encouragement of who you are and the anchor of our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.